This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. Rise and shine, it's Friday. You know what that means, don't you?
It's the weekend, baby.
Yes, it's the weekend, baby. Yeah, that's right. It's Friday morning and everybody's excited about the weekend. Ben is smiling from ear to ear despite having huge consternation this morning trying to open his bag. He wrestled it to death for 5 whole minutes and couldn't get it open. You know what happened?
Frustrating. You know, like there's like an inner lining and sometimes that gets caught in the zip and you pull.
I hate that.
And then as you pull, you make it worse. Now you got to go.
Why do they put an inner lining anywhere near the zip?
I agree.
Huh?
Zip should be traffic-free areas.
At least a centimeter or two away from there. God's sake. What is wrong with these zip manufacturers? Huh? Right? Amanda, how are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday indeed. What's your plan for the weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited. I haven't been out or partied for like a month.
Lies. Come on. A whole month?
I'm dead serious.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm keen to go out this weekend and have a good time.
Can I ask you a favor quickly?
Sure.
Can you give me a thing of warm water?
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Do you have a little tickle in your trot? Prevention rather than cure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Got you.
Right.
Have you had breakfast yet, sir?
Oh, Ben.
This is becoming a thing.
I technically have. Well, waking not in your not standards. Breakfast. Not okay. In your standards.
What
yes,
you had?
But I did dig into a bag of marshmallows this morning.
You had marshmallows for breakfast.
But it's Friday and that's
Sia,
why.
Sia, that is so bad. Sia, really?
The marshmallows taste good, so that's
you have
fine.
Marshmallows?
Well, yeah. I was up and then I was like, well, it's kind of cold to even be digging around in my kitchen at that hour. So I just got the bag of marshmallows and jumped back into bed.
No, Sia, that's awful, man. Oh. Oh.
This is why I said by nobody's standards at all. But for now, we're sort of good. Until by when we wrap the show, we'll have a nice healthy breakfast. Are you happy with that, Ben?
You won't this. Here's just spare me your lies.
Here's what he's going to do. He's going to head on down to some fast food joint and grab like the worst possible thing on the menu, like waffles with syrup or something. Watch.
Okay, diabetes is not my friend. I'm not knocking on that door.
Are you flirting with him quite heavily?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for lifting up my mood this Friday morning, Ben.
Yeah,
what did you have for breakfast? Want to make me feel even worse?
Yeah, the usual hair. So I had the granola, then I put the high fiber flakes with that. Okay. You know, getting my fiber.
Granola.
And then I had a banana with that and a touch of milk. I had a big cup of rooibos, and then I had 2 boiled eggs.
Holy moly. Oh,
very organized, Ben.
How long does it take you to do in the morning?
It doesn't matter. It's just such a priority that I do not put a time to it.
Okay.
I wake up, I do that, I feed meowses, I do work.
Here, here.
I get up, I can't go down. Da-da-da-da, round and round. What is that song?
No,
Abra, abracadabra. Don't you know that song?
Oh, no. Are you referencing another 70s song?
I think it might even be 80s. Don't you know it?
I know it.
Yeah.
I want to reach out and grab you.
Excuse me? Yeah, Steve Miller Band. Yes, you don't know this song?
What incestuous song Someone said, I get up. Singing.
Listen to this. Dee-doo-doo. Da-da-da. Yeah. I get up. I can't go down. Listen. It's a great song. I heat up. This will wake you up. Come on, it's not so bad. Like a burning, hear me like that. Burning flame, full of desire. It might even be the 70s, you're right.
I want to reach out and grab ya.
Come on, you know this?
Yeah,
right. This is what Seal was saying to his marshmallows this morning.
Abracadabra.
All right, anyway.
I want to reach out and grab ya.
Yes. Yes. I have no plans at all for the weekend, and I can't tell you how excited I am.
Oh, but means, Gareth, you know how that'll change.
I know, but it means the whole thing is open to my discretion. Like, I could stay in and do nothing. I could go out every night and pull the ring out of it. I could do something civilized. I could have a nice lunch with people I haven't seen for a while. I could just watch movies.
Nice. And huh? Super Rugby final, Gareth.
Ah, you know I'm going to be lining up for
that. Like that, hey? 4 o'clock. All over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, do you want me to tell you how your weekend's going to go?
Tell me.
You will go home after this.
Yeah.
And you'll have a mild afternoon, which will lead into like a drink situation with your friends, yeah. But you're not going to go all out. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow you'll run some errands.
Oh, yes. Yes, good.
And
yes.
Then that'll lead to a wilder night.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
All right.
Which will lead to you being totally out for Sunday.
Okay.
And then you'll probably see like your family on Sunday afternoon.
You know, Sia, you know me well. That's
how it goes.
That's probably what's
going to
happen.
That's the circle. No, yeah.
We'll see. You know, the point is also, like someone, who was it? It's one of my friends overseas, I think. They're like, if you just settled down now, you'd be so much happier. I said to them, you think so? And they said, yeah. I think it would, you'd have more of a like structured social schedule. I said, then that sounds like hell on wheels in a black dress to me. A scheduled social structure. I mean, is that why people get together and stay together? I don't think so.
Some people need that, Gareth. Some people really, really need that. It is so horrifying to think that something could not be planned.
Yes. Yeah. What an awful... That's like living in a constant 24/7 paid package holiday where they force you to do all the activities, right?
Yeah. But as I say, like some people crave that.
I know, and that's fine. If that's your thing, then yeah. That's great. Good for you.
No, but I just think it's a massive majority of people, even though the ones who weren't admitted, it's like some guys I know, they always go, oh, yeah, my wife, this and that. But they love it. They love being told what to do.
Yeah.
They love having,
The same guys, though, who complain, they bitch when they're on the golf course with their friends. They're like, oh, my wife doesn't let me do that. By the way, you don't ever do that with me, if you're a friend of mine or not.
I also become deaf to that kind
of crap. If you're going to come and join me for drinks, because I don't play golf, and then you're going to sit there and complain about your wife, I'm not listening. I mean, I'd rather have her there, frankly, because I do not understand these guys who feel all hard done by that they're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Then get out, you idiot. Take control of your destiny. I don't want to hear you bitch and moan about your... And plus, if you've got such balls... And you're the man of the house. How about you do that bitching when she's in front of you?
Ooh.
How about you have some... Yeah. How about you show some real character and you say that when she's sitting there and then she can defend herself? What do you want? You have all your friends go, yeah, shame, it's terrible, hey. At least you could drink with us, Sven.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's just that they then have an echo chamber for each other. So it's like, you're mine too. You know, she doesn't understand.
No. If you're going to be in a relationship and you're not happy with that person, or you think you could do better, or you, whatever your thing is, which, by the way, is such nonsense. All these guys who think they could do better. Like, you're just lucky you got a girlfriend. Half of them.
It's kind of true, though.
And then they sit there and they tell you, she's given me a pink slip. That, to me, is the most outrageous, stupid thing ever.
Pink slip? Is that like a whole pass?
It's basically, whenever someone says pink slip, I lose instant respect for them. And a lot of my friends have fallen into this thing, and that's why I don't have any
friends. This is what guys do. They get the night off from their girlfriend, or she says, have a night out with the boys.
Oh, okay.
Which strikes me as odd. Like, if I'm in a relationship, and I have been in this situation, I know I sound like a horrible, constantly solo person, but it's not the case. I have been in relationships before, and you want the girlfriend there with your friends because mm-hmm. she's part of the fun. She's the most important part of the fun. And when you're with her and with your friends, you're going to have maximum fun.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Seriously? Crawl into bed at 3 a.m. And then the next morning she says, how was your night? And you go like, ugh, this is all right. Meanwhile, you got broken drunk and had the most fun and told the funniest stories, and everybody else had funny stories, and you laughed a lot, and you had a great time, and you and your friends had an awesome evening. Now, wouldn't you want her there as part of that? I mean, what are you spending the night with whores that you can't have her around? And most of these guys are not, by the way. Their girlfriends have no reason to worry about them cheating. Trust me, these guys couldn't cheat if they tried. Because the longer you're in a relationship, the worse you become at trying to pick up other women.
So bad.
So I do not understand men who sit and complain about their wives or girlfriends. Don't do it, please. It's just disrespectful and stupid. And if you're so unhappy, then do the manly thing and either leave or bring her with so she can hear you bitching and she can decide to leave you. Don't do that. And don't do it around me. Like, I'm going to support you in your self-absorbed, attention-seeking monologue about how horrible your relationship is. I don't care. If you're in a bad relationship, your fault.
But I guess it goes, and it depends on relationship to relationship. Like, I know some couples just love, you know, spending time with each other. They're like each other's BFFs.
That's cool.
Out. But then really some people, it's not that they hate each other, but their dynamic is we lead our separate lives. Like, I have my friends, you have your friends.
Everybody has different balance. Yeah. You know, some people, they like a little bit of doing their own thing, of being alone sometimes, of maybe being with other people than their significant other. That's fine. Great.
But just don't bitch and moan.
Not to me. I don't care if there are other, if you've got other weak, lily-livered, spineless guys who you're friends with. Tell them and let them go, oh, shame, Clyde. Me too. That's fine.
Join the club. Yeah. Oh, that's when you just...
Yeah, that's great. Let's play golf tomorrow. Then you don't have to be around that bitch. Come on. Do me a favor. And Ben, you love golf. I know that, right? And there are a lot of guys who love golf. But there is a percentage of guys who go and play golf because it's 5 to 8 hours, if you know. Carry on drinking afterwards or whatever. It's that much time they get away from the kids and the wife and all that stuff.
Mm. I used to play golf with a certain group of people. They were all about 10 to 15 years older than me, and they all basically hated their wives, and that's why they were there getting shit-faced.
And that's, you know what? Fine. Do it. Just don't tell me about it.
But like, okay, with them, they didn't so much talk about it. It's just that they were past talking about it. When you when you play golf with younger people, they're still at that stage where they start bitching.
Wow.
But yeah, the pink slip.
Yeah, the pink slip's a stupid
thing.
That's
got to be one of the, that's when I look around and I think, I'm sad I'm a human.
So I've heard the equivalent of that being a visa. It's like, oh, well, my girlfriend gave me a visa tonight. Visa to like go out and...
Yeah, but look, it becomes the norm because one guy says it, and then you want to be mates with these guys, you end up saying it, and it does. It makes me want to vomit a bit.
And don't get me wrong, there are some of these girlfriends that are a pain in the ass too, but most of the time it's just a weak guy.
But you've chosen to be with that person.
Yeah, right.
And you've enabled it too.
And these toxic relationships, while we're on the bandwagon of like criticizing other people and their relationships. I mean, why the hell not?
While I'm a bump, single ladies, as I leave here.
That's right. I'm in a great position. I'm allowed to be a judge, jury, and executioner because it's not happening to me, right? So these couples that are miserable together, you know the kind of people I'm talking about. They love arguing, fighting. They love drama. There's always some shit going on with them. This one's on the phone screaming at that one.
Mm.
The other one is screaming back at her or whatever it might be. It's just so unattractive. It's so horrible to be around people like that.
You know, I've never fully understood how people get off on that. Like, some people genuinely, like, their dynamic is too...
I think it comes from watching too much soap opera stuff, because they feel...
The bickering and the fighting.
Yeah, they see it happen in soaps, and then they think, well, that's how we've got to be if we want to be, like, adult and real.
Ugh.
But, like, what I've heard when people are in a toxic relationship, because I have a friend that's in one, and her excuse is, I can't afford to leave.
What, like, she can't financially afford to leave?
Exactly. Oh, that, and I think that's horrible.
Yeah, that's awful. God, what a horrible reason to be with someone. That's like being in a job that you hate and you're packing, you know, you're sweeping the floors in a factory because you are scared you won't get another job. Well, you know, then you're going to pack floors in the factory. I mean, I can't help people like that. If you're afraid, if fear is your motivation for anything, you're going to lose. Life's going to be horrible for you.
But you can see what Amanda's saying, though, because you start living together and then you can't go. So what we need to do is set up a relationship amnesty fund and then you can apply. You give someone a two-month amnesty plan with reasonable repayment offers. And that gets you set up. It gets you away. You get introduced to three suitable people that could be, you know.
Oh, no. Sometimes you just need to be alone.
Sure. But that's the other options here. Uh-huh. We've got to let's get this going.
Okay. Have you and Daniela ever had the uncomfortable conversation where you two are like, if we split up, who's going to move out?
Yeah, of course.
You have?
You do?
We've had many uncomfortable conversations, for sure.
Oh, no.
No, well, that's a good relationship if they're having the uncomfortable conversations. The people who ignore those conversations, who don't have them, are the ones who don't last.
Yeah. Sit in oblivion.
Gareth, I never came to a definitive answer.
I think it's going to be you. You're going to be out on the street on your backside. I think you'll be living in a treehouse.
With meowsers.
Well, yeah, I'll get meowsers to help me build it.
Yeah, who gets custody of meowsers? These are the things. You would?
Well, look, it's been kind of established that she likes me more. And Daniela always reminds me of this. That's why she says, look, she doesn't even love me. That's why we need to get a dog. Which is a fair point. So Daniela wants a kitten or a dog. Because meowsers, the boats sail with meowsers. She knows where she stands with her.
Yeah.
But I spend more time with her because I work from home and I feed her.
Sure. Okay.
And you know, girl cats always prefer boys. Yes, and then boy cats always prefer girls.
I've heard that.
These are awkward conversations.
They're very difficult, but you have to have them.
Of course you have to have them.
And if you don't, you're ignoring a potential problem. I mean, it's future planning. It's strategy.
Oh, I know.
And afterwards, you will sleep better knowing that you've resolved the problem rather than when it happens, you go, oh, my God, now what? And then you stay in it because you're unhappy and you don't have an option. That's awful.
Or some people often say it's because, you know, they've invested so much time in the relationship. Right. I've never understood that as well. I might get the financial component. But to say, oh, no, but, you know, he's perfect for me now after so long. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right. I feel so bad, especially for women who are trapped in those kind of situations, like especially, you know, in our parents' era where women didn't always have their own income stream and where the husband just controlled everything to do with the finances and there was no way for her. You know, this is where, I mean, we talk about feminism and like equal rights and all the rest of it, but we've come a long way in one generation if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Our mothers, they were almost completely financially reliant on our fathers. Of course, there were women who weren't. But by and large, if you got married to a guy in the 1960s or 70s, he was in charge of the purse strings, right? One generation. You try and tell a woman of 2017, especially a young woman, that she is financially dependent on a man, she's going to kick up a fuss, and rightly so. You're going to say, no, I don't need that. I've got my own income, right? That's a very big, very fast evolution.
Even the likes of, you know, my parents are married in community of property, and that now.
People look at that like it's a bizarre.
Never hear of. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
They think, well, what's wrong with these people? How could they possibly have done that, right?
Jeez, because I even think that now. I'm like, how?
No, look, I don't see how anyone should ever get married in community property. Because you don't know. Marriage is like it's a business contract. I mean, if you strip out all the love and everything else, which you have to do when you, that's what lawyers do. There is no good reason to marry in community. So you throw everything into the pot.
Yeah.
And if things go
all
wrong.
All for one and one for all.
I mean, that's so stupid. Like, at least what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine, and what we build together, sure, we split that. But man,
Yeah, I think that time is gone, hey?
Good morning, Gareth, Ben, Sia, Amanda. And where is Mabale the Queen? Well, she is at a family funeral this weekend, and clearly she needed to be there a bit early, but we'll find out on Monday. She said she was sick on Wednesday as well. I don't know. I don't know about Wednesday. I think she took the day, so she could go one day early. She should have just told us she wasn't here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But eh. Gareth, here's something for my weekend. I've already got something new in the pipeline. Go and watch Dunkirk on IMAX. You being a history man, you'll love this. Be sure to watch it on IMAX. It blew my mind. Hmm. Well, that's the story of those British troops, Allied troops, that were stranded on the shores of Dunkirk in France as the Germans were advancing. And the British sent out everything that could float to go and pick these guys up. It's such a heroic story.
Hmm.
Harrowing. You imagine just thousands of troops on the beach just between the Nazis advancing, who would have killed them, and the sea. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you can't swim with all your gear on. You just have to stand there and wait. And the British sent out, I mean, there were paddle boats and canoes and tugs and battleships and everything that came out to rescue these people. What a story.
Jeez.
I will see that. It's amazing.
But great movies coming out today, yeah. Actually.
What else?
The 4th of August. Krotoa, who...
Yes, okay. Can we talk about this for a second?
Uh-huh.
And then we'll get to news. Krotoa is the story of a Khoi woman who was the translator for Jan van Riebeek at the Cape in the 1650s. A fascinating story. I interviewed the director yesterday, and we'll play that next week. But that's another movie I want to see.
Mm. And then finally, Baby Driver for anyone who... Yeah,
well, we've been talking about that a lot.
Oh, that's
but,
a good movie. Great movie.
Baby.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's it. Finally coming out nationally today, the 4th of August.
Very nice. Okay, let's get into some news, shall we? It is time for the headlines, which is brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. They are open all weekend and in many different locations for your pleasure. You can go along there and get the best meals, and you can also collect rewards on the app and make sure that you try some of the new menu items, because all of them are trying new stuff with various pizzas. They've also got a Monday special, which I think is still on until the end of August. So get out there and on Monday, put this in your diary now. You create a reminder on your phone and be there on Monday, because you get one pizza and then you get another one for free. The cheaper of the two is for free.
From the gourmet menu.
Awesome. Do that ASAP, all right? Yes. Yes. All right. So let's look at some of the news stories. You want to take over, Sia? You want to go first?
Yes, so I hope we are not in a Shabir Sheikh situation, but Oscar Pistorius was taken to hospital yesterday morning. According to community newspaper Record East, Oscar was taken by the ambulance to the casualty section of Kalafong. Casualty. What did I say?
Casualty. You said casually.
It's a Friday.
Really downplaying this.
The casualty section of Kalafong Hospital in Pretoria after suffering from chest pains. Mm. So a spokesperson for correctional services confirmed that on Thursday, the former Paralympic athlete was taken to hospital by officials, but could not immediately confirm why he was hospitalized. When the Pistorius family was reached out to for comment, they actually said that they did not know about this because there's so many rumors supposedly swirling all the time. Oscar's brother Carl said that last week they had heard that Oscar had allegedly committed suicide, so they didn't know.
Oh my God, really?
Oh yeah, so they didn't know whether to believe this or not. So yeah, let's see if it really is genuine or not.
You know, I had the weirdest conversation with someone the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought... Everybody, he's fallen off the radar, right?
Mm.
Nobody's talking about Oscar anymore. Thought, I wouldn't mind, like, going to visit him. It just suddenly entered my head out of nowhere. I thought, you know, here's this guy, he's doing his time. By the way, he's already better than Shabir Sheikh. Shabir Sheikh spent like a month in jail. Oscar's been in there for a couple of months already.
He's actually been there since July last year. Well, you didn't realize that it was a little over a year now.
And I just thought, not for any publicity. I was going to do this. I don't think I will, because what do I... It'll look like I'm trying to muscle in on, you know, his story. Or I don't know. It'll look bad.
Are you speaking in terms of a genuine visit or like an interview?
No, like just pop in and say, hey, you know.
Okay.
Not because I was friends with him before or anything else. I just thought, I hope he has visitors. I hope there are people going to... This upsets me that the family only found out now that he was not feeling well, or and that there was a, you know,
through the media reaching
suicide.
Out to them.
I mean, that's terrible. That means the guy hasn't been visited. I would be suicidal if my family and friends stopped visiting me. And I'm not saying that's what's happened. That's just what we're putting together.
Well, they just didn't know what to believe. Yeah. Yes.
And also, I'm not one of those people who, you know, is constantly full of hatred and anger and just, you know, I don't have it in me to, like, hold a grudge. And I don't have a dog in this fight. You know, I said I knew Reva, but it doesn't mean that I'm involved. I just suddenly had this idea that I can't do it now because I've just said it. But I just quietly go and say hello. For no good reason other than that's a human thing to do. Anyway, it's done now. I've spoilt it. But if I'd not said anything, I might still be able to do it.
Well, I still think you can if you really want to. But on that note, the Deputy Commissioner of Communications from the Department of Correctional Services, Logan Maestri, says that Oscar is doing well under the circumstances and he is well on the rehab program. He confirmed that Oscar could be eligible for parole within 2 years, but it has not yet been confirmed.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
How things quickly fly. Yeah. How time flies as well. And I'm sure by now we've all heard of this tragic, tragic story of actor Tumi Masilela's death.
What happened?
He was shot in Tembisa on Wednesday night in a suspected hijacking. Now, this was an actor on Rhythm City who actually auditioned for Idols a few years ago as well. And it's actually a double tragedy on his family's behalf, as his aunt was actually told about this news, his aunt died upon hearing it. So the Masilela's family is currently going through and dealing with two deaths in the family. But on the set of Rhythm City, where he was starring in the role of Sifiso Ngema, the filming has been suspended. This is now the second day, as it has been hard on the cast and crew as well. So
I'm sure.
29-year-old actor died in hospital on Thursday morning after suffering through the night. And currently the Rhythm City publicist Mpumi Phillips says that family is distraught. The family doesn't really want to talk about much about it, other than the fact that, you know, hearing of the passing, she says that the aunt, she did confirm that the aunt did pass away, and we don't know what the cause of the death is at this point on the aunt's behalf. But yeah, shocking, shocking, tragic stuff.
Yeah, that's not good. That's obviously awful.
29 years old, had just gotten married as well. It's just, yeah, tough.
Yeah, you got to feel for the new wife, huh? It's just the toughest thing to basically have to endure.
I hate to bring in something less important to some people, but this is a real thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, cooked steak last night, the meat stench is real. We brought this up the other day. I'm telling you, I'm not cooking steak at home again. It's happened to me twice in a row.
That's why you got to bry it outside.
Yeah.
Wait, so even after, like, you shower or something?
I smelted them. I told you the other day, right? I cooked steak, and I smelted on my clothes the meat stench. I'm telling you.
The worst is if you don't have blinds and you have curtains. It will just stay in the couch, everything.
But your clothes, right? I mean, you just, the meat stench. So there we go. That's a message on WhatsApp this morning. Morning all. I was married out of community of property. My ex-husband is still the best person and left me with everything and has been very supportive of me in ways I don't think married people are, Michelle. Well, you lucked up, but most guys are not so nice. And I'm Sia, talking about toxic relationships. I stay in Santon. I usually visit my nephew and his wife in another area around here. And there's a couple that's their neighbor. When the guy gets home from work, he sits in the car for hours on his phone, and I noticed and asked them. Turns out the girlfriend does the same thing. That doesn't sound healthy.
Jeez.
Sitting in the car for hours rather than being in your house with your girlfriend? odd.
You see, but also on the note of community of property, it also just doesn't work really at all in terms of if I get into debt, now my partner also has to.
Yeah, that's community.
You know, we're all dragged down.
Good morning, guys. This is from KC. My girlfriend and I have been together about 15 years, 2 kids. We live together. We're not planning to get married. We don't need to. It's just pen on paper. We fight. We argue. We have sex like teenagers when the kids are asleep. And we keep our problems ours. Never involve outsiders in our problem circle, ever.
Just on that note, though, I've always been interested to find out legally if I... Ben, for example, in your instance, if you were to end up in a coma, is Daniela legally allowed to be in the room or to make medical decisions? Because there's nothing on paper, you know? So would it have to, would powers have to resort to your parents?
It's a very good question, Sia.
It's things like that where, yes, it's just officially on paper what goes where. Alas.
Greg says, Kanye told us, we want prenup, we want prenup.
Yeah.
Had to listen to the man.
It's something that you need to have.
All right, other news stories. Let's have a look at some of those quickly. Ben, you got something?
Yeah, there's been another Dubai residential tower fire. You know, it almost seems like a monthly occurrence, this. So another big tower has been evacuated through a fire, but this is the best part of the story. The building is called Dubai's Torch Tower. It's tragic to say this, but 80-story building has been evacuated. The fire has been put out. But they are citing a popular kind of cladding in Dubai, which has been quite problematic. Wow. Of course, there was that massive fire on New Year's that overshadowed even the fireworks. It was so big. And there's been a few. Let's just say there's been more than five of these things. The torch actually was engulfed in flames back in 2015.
It's a terrible thing to call a building the torch.
Well, when it's on fire twice, maybe that's when you know.
Yeah. I love the way Atul Gupta says, I am proudly South African. No, you really aren't. How dare he? Right?
Oh, we'll just never get enough of those guys.
But did he get the go-ahead from Malusi Gigaba before saying that?
Well, he told Malusi Gigaba he needs a passport or an ID or whatever, and he just got them.
But does he have one, or does he have like a diplomatic passport? Because you know there's different passports, right?
Yeah.
I reckon he's got the VIP.
Of course he has.
Line skipping passport.
The diplomatic one, yeah.
The Mostef sort of passport?
Sure.
No. Mostef didn't have a passport. He had a crap story.
Shame.
It's all just in the same group. No, not at all.
And then I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a man who was accused of attempting assassination of the president.
In South Africa?
And members of the Gupta family and cabinet ministers. A guy called Elvis. Remember we covered this story years ago. 23 was arrested in Midrand. Oh, sorry, it wasn't years ago. This is a new one. April 26th. Charged with conspiracy to commit murder. After his previous court appearance in July, his lawyer requested the case be postponed as the defense need time to finish reading the docket. So he was granted bail of 3,000 rand on May the 8th. And according to the Hawks and the state security minister, according to the Hawks, the state security minister would be the first target of the so-called anti-state capture death squad.
Say what?
Yeah. Ramo Sebuti allegedly said he had sniper rifles and poisoned food to carry out the assassination. He also said he had a sniper team of 6 he claimed they had been trained. The targets would be murdered to prevent the ANC losing in the 2019 election and would result in the civil war. They would be murdered in their homes to make it seem like house robberies. That was the plan.
That is just...
Yeah, I don't know if I believe this. I've got to be frank. I think that this is one of those made-up things that that force the police ministry to up the protection around people like the Guptas and the president because they were feeling nervous. So they made this story up. I don't think this guy's any of those things. Watch. Watch in 3 years' time, he's going to be walking down the street and then there'll be nothing. Suddenly the charges will be dropped or something. It's just a distraction. I'm telling you now, this is not something to take seriously.
What a major task to take onto yourself, dude, if it is real. Like, do you really think you'd be able to kill all of these people? Anyway.
Yeah, it is. There's people out there. I mean, we've seen the stories. There's that one hostel in KZN where you go and literally you hire an assassin.
Yeah.
It's like a brothel for assassins. You go in there. It's like a drive-thru.
Right.
Assassin Alley.
Just before we get to Ben's sport, a quick message here from Dudley says, hey, I'll try and make this message quick. I wanted to let you know I almost crashed my car driving listening to Wednesday's podcast.
Bless you.
Ah, sorry, that was coming. I couldn't believe the words coming from Garrett's mouth regarding leaving South Africa. I left South Africa in 2015. After arriving in Australia, I remember you bad-mouthing Safas and Oz who left. I left SA because the way I felt that you also said you felt during your Wednesday morning rant. It was not because of the crom. I was not there because there were less blacks. It was all thanks to Zuma and what an incompetent bunch of thieving politicians and the Guptas were doing to my beloved country. It wasn't an easy decision, but one I felt I had to take for the future of my family. I keep abreast of life in SA and listening to your show every day. It's sad to learn that things are deteriorating. I still try to remain positive that things will one day start improving. I have most of my money invested back in SA, including hashtag invest, so I was very surprised to hear the situation is starting to make positive people like Gareth crack. I still hope my beloved country does become the land it deserves to be. I think about all my family and friends I left behind every day, and it hurts knowing life is becoming tougher over there. Here's hoping Zuma and the Guptas fall and things get better soon. Cheers, Dudley. Thanks, Dudley. I mean, you know what? I used to... The last time I said anything horrible about people who emigrate was probably about 5 years ago. And, you know, I've grown up. I've also realized that things... Hold on a second. A treat for Friday. I'm going to blow my nose. Are you ready?
Woo-hoo! Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Isn't that nice? Jesus. Things I do.
Oh, this classy, classy show.
I know.
We are...
I think that's the anniversary. It's a week-long anniversary since I last blew my nose on the air.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Right.
Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
All right, enough of that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so Dudley, I hear you, dude, and you've made the right decision for you and your family, and it's a hard thing to do. I don't judge people anymore. I think I've just grown up a little bit and realized that the world is actually not about... You know, I used to be one of those people who was very patriotic, and I just think where you're born has zero to do with the kind of person you develop into in terms of it adding value. If it doesn't add value, if it does, great. In other words... It's least important to me that you are South African, black, white, male, female, straight, gay. These are the things that interest me the least about someone. The things that interest me the most, do you have a sense of humor? What gives you meaning? What do you care about? Who do you care about? What makes you really angry? What makes you really happy? Those are the things I'm interested in. So it goes along with all those other categories that people put you into as the least important stuff about someone. Hmm. Use adjectives. Don't use groups to decide who someone is.
Use tax brackets and what cars people drive.
Yeah, that's Sia. Thank you.
That's me.
Yeah, there we go. Sia bringing it down again. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben. See what's going on the fields this weekend. He's already trying to talk me into watching the Super Rugby final. Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be at 4 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
Complete sold-out stadium, Ellis Park, 60,000 people. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be... Wow, I'm so excited about this. Because you don't often get a full Ellis Park, right? If you go watch the box play, the All Blacks, sure. Even then, because the All Blacks generally win, then it's not so great. And then you got those Duosers who support the All Blacks because they feel historically they were a team they resonated with.
Yeah.
Anyway, but now you've got a full stadium of people cheering for something that, well, it's one of those exciting things that doesn't really happen much in your lifetime. The Bulls have won Super Rugby 3 times. The Stormers have made it to the final once. The Sharks have made it to the final, I think, like 3 or 4 times. They've always lost. But the Lions have a chance to have this title, this beautiful Super 18, Super Rugby, call it what you want, title. And I've got to say, they have a very good chance of doing it because they are essentially fresher than the Crusaders. Crusaders have had a long, hard season. The travel here is pretty rough, and playing in Joburg is even rougher. The altitude is going to take effect. It's just, that's how it is. That's just science. That's not me pulling something out of my ass. That's just science. Altitude is tough.
All right.
Try run around. And I believe it's going to be a high-scoring match. I really do. Which will then play into the hands of the Lions because the Lions just have a way of making the game very fast and very open, which is really good. Before the fans, obviously. But secondly, it's because the Crusaders have been playing in the mud for the last 2 weeks. So this change of pace might be a little bit too much to handle. And although they are a fantastic team, they really do have quality all around. They've got a fantastic forward pack. I mean, you look at that forward pack alone and you think, well, they're probably going to win this. But the Lions are going to open it up. And if the substitutions can make an impact, you know, they don't have the strongest bench, the Lions. This has got to be admitted. But I still believe in the last sort of 5 to 10 minutes, the Crusaders are going to battle to keep pace with the Lions. And that is when they'll win.
Cool.
Lions fans, I do apologize for the fact that I probably jinxed your team.
I know. A lot of people,
but I can't tell a lie here.
A lot of people are already complaining about that yesterday, but you are just saying what you think, and that's what we ask you for.
Yeah, I can't tell a lie. In cricket, the Aussies have finally come to an agreement about how much they get paid. Now, this will be seen as a bit of a success story, but it's a very, very long story. I'll try and make it as quick as possible. Cricket Australia, who I think are a bunch of decent blokes, they put together this plan where everyone gets a nice piece of the pie. Cricket Association of Australia, whoever support the players, these guys are a bunch of dicks. So this is what the whole power struggle has been around. Cricket Australia had this whole revenue share thing. Then they said, guys, look, we're not making as much money as we used to, so we have to amend this a little bit. And they were like, whoa, 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 not a chance. We want to get paid more, and we want to get paid the same way. So they're like, well, guys, we don't have the same money, so that's why we're doing this. And what we want to do is try benefits grassroots cricket. So they're like, screw that. Eventually, a whole big power struggle. The Australia A tour of SA was cancelled. Then, you know, there was a whole bunch of other stuff that was in the air. But now they've come to an agreement. These guys have basically won over. And only if Cricket Australia gets to a certain amount of revenue does money then go into the grassroots. Mm-hmm. So Cricket Australia just wanted to build the game. The guys at the top, they just wanted more and more money to pay for more and more spray tans for their girlfriends. That's all they wanted.
Spray tans.
So if Cricket Australia is not great in 10 years' time, it's because the money could not drip down from the spray tans down to grassroots level.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is the long and the short of it. In football news, Neymar has been, well, he's now a PSG player. That whole deal went through. La Liga tried to block it because it's just not that great. But the more the story comes out, the more people are going, oh, that's amazing, this guy is the best player in the world because he's worth 222 million euros. Jurgen Klopp, right, actually quite a couple of days ago, went as far as to say, look, this is absolutely outrageous, and there's only two clubs that can do transfers like this. And he said, it's PSG and it's Man City. And then he says, and you know why? Because he doesn't hold back. And you know why, Gareth?
Tell me.
Man City, owned by Abu Dhabi based money.
Okay, right.
PSG, owned by Qatar based money.
Oh.
So the more you dig into the story, the more you realize that, well, it's actually not about football. It's about these people trying to make friends internationally, trying to influence their origins. Qatar right now, not a great story, right? Saudis don't want the world to care about them. They want to be back in friends with everybody. So what do? They spend money that no one else can spend to get a player that everybody wants. Just think, Barcelona don't want to get rid of him, right?
Right.
He's 25. Messi and Suarez, they like 30. Yeah. They're not going to be around forever. Neymar is the future, and he will be the greatest once Ronaldo and Messi go. That's like, everyone knows that. Barcelona had no interest in selling this guy. They didn't know what, did not want to sell him. La Liga, the Spanish league, did not want to let this guy go. So Qatar were like, well, guys, we're just going to throw all this money at him because it's just international power struggle. So now people go, oh yeah, PSG, they're owned by Qatar, right? Yeah, they're not such bad guys. Look at their team, that's doing so well. And that's what these guys are doing. So shame on you, Qatar, because no one else can put the money like this together. And it also shows there's a whole power struggle in the background of all this. But that's not me being cynical. This is what really smart people are saying. So just to put into context, the whole deal is that he'll essentially be earning 504 million rand a year, Neymar, at PSG.
Right.
So every hour of every day, Gareth, he is going to be making 62,500 rand. Every hour of every day of this 5-year contract, for the next 5 years, as a PSG player, he'll be making 62,500 rand per hour.
I'd like to make a prayer right now, because this is the kind of thing that I don't even know where to begin. Let me just pray. I haven't done this for ages. It's going to take God by surprise. Can you just give me a second? All right. Here it is. Dear Lord, God, hi. I know we haven't spoken for a long time, but could you not have given me a talent in football? Why did you have to make me like I am? Why couldn't I have the abilities of a Neymar? I would earn 60-something thousand
Rand or pounds, Ben?
Rand an hour.
Rand, God. Rand an hour for kicking a ball around, and I'm not kicking it around all of those hours. Why, God? Why? Why do you hate me so? Back to the sport with Ben.
Okay, I hope you get an answer.
I don't know if I will.
So yesterday I said pirates, sinking ship, right? Yeah. That Swedish guy was like, no thanks. Well, Oppo Magnusa, he's the captain. He's the captain no more. He's going to Sundowns. So when you lose your captain, right, shock, horror, what the hell's going on here? When you lose your captain to rivals like Sundowns, you got to think there is a lot wrong with this team. So what they did yesterday was they announced the new coach, Sredojevic. Now, Sredojevic was there in 2008, around there. He was there for a small period. His contract with Uganda national team just came up. So Sredojevic is the new coach. And then they went, oh, yeah, so by the way, Opa's also gone. Our captain, he's gone. 29-year-old star was basically all they had left, and he's now gone.
Wow. Wow.
See, that's what happens when you focus on being a gangster and not running a team.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Right, athletics for the weekend starts today. IAAF World Champs. So bloody exciting. I can't wait for this. I'm going to watch so much of this on repeat. I'll watch the highlights. I'll watch all of it.
Right.
Got to look at our medal chances for the teams in Africa. We've got two guys in the high jump. Samai and Luvo Manyonga. Now, these guys are supremely talented, and we've got two of them in one event, which is amazing. Someone you might not have heard of, might not have seen too much of, is Antonio Alcana. He will be running the 110-meter hurdles. He is the SA champion, SA record holder, super, super talented guy, and he'll be going into this slightly under the radar, but a massive chance for a medal. Obviously, then Akani Sabina, 100 meters, 200 meters. We've still got so many sprinters coming through. Costa Semenya in the 800 and the 1.5, and then Wade Fenikok in the 200 and the 400. Massive medal chances. We're going through a great resurgence. Despite the fact we probably have the worst administrators in the world, our athletes are absolute champions. And the greatest thing about our athletes too, Gareth, is that they speak out about how crap our administrators are. Often.
Yes, good.
And so they must keep holding good to account. In cricket, just when you thought Werner Flander was on the right road to recovery, I mean, he had the violent shits at the beginning of last test, which then went into a stomach infection. He now has back spasms. This guy's middle area is just...
His whole torso should be thrown out and a new one put in.
I mean, is it sort of sympathetic spasms after damaging the Dalton for about 5 days last week? It could be. Anyway, he is now an uncertainty again. They're going to wait to see how well he slept, as in like how he's working up now, to see how he's going to do for this test, which is not great, because if the Proteas lose this match, or even if they draw this match, it'll be the first time in 19 years that England has beaten the Proteas in England. It's a nice record to have. It's a terrible record to know that you've actually lost it, and there's going to be rain about, so the chances of a win here for the Proteas are very, very slim. Also, if Vern's gone, the dynamic of this team is really screwed, and we've seen this in the last test, because then do you bring in another seamer? Does Morris then have to bowl more overs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you then bring in Tiernan de Bruyne to beef up the batting lineup? Oh, it's just right. There's so many different dynamics at play here, all of which could amount to Russell Domingo having a not so pleasant last test match. Because let's be honest, he'll be given the flick after this.
Right.
Sorry, he hasn't done enough. He had a brief moment where he was doing better, but with the player quality in South Africa and what we've had and what we've got to show for it, I don't think he should stay on. Vladimir Klitschko suddenly retired last night. He decided, well, screw it, I'm not into this anymore. So his rematch with Anthony Joshua will not take place. And big controversy in the Conor McGregor camp. A former boxer, Gareth, a former guy, so yeah, he doesn't box anymore, came in as a sparring partner for McGregor and knocked him the hell out. But on social media, all you will see is McGregor standing while this guy's on the floor. Because they were talking about the fact he hasn't got punching power. So there was this time in the sparring session when he pushed this guy and the guy fell to the floor. The picture was, oh my God, look at that punching power. Anyway, this former boxer has now gone and said, I came here to help your camp and now you are exploiting me. Paul Malignaggi has gone into the camp and he said, look guys, there are cameras here. Why don't you release the unedited footage of our sparring fights? Because he said he knocked him out. And this is after very little sleep after a long flight. He came and literally, he said, I'm here to help. And they are doctoring these images now to make it look like McGregor's just all that.
Sure.
Former boxing champion went there. Not in great shape, I must tell you.
Wow, that's what a horrible thing to do if that's true, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Awful.
That's pretty much it for the sport. Huge, huge weekend ahead. Oh, and the Russians say sorry for taking drugs.
But what? That's,
yeah, they said for the first time they're sorry for doping.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that make it better?
No, it doesn't, but it's something.
All right. We're running late here, but let's get to Anthea and let's see what's going on with her in the money shot. I can't believe how much time we've taken up here. I'm terribly sorry, Anthea. Let's get straight into it. I've got to play your song, though, because otherwise people won't know that it's you. You know how it goes.
Good morning, Gary.
All right, here it is quickly. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. She looks hot for the money.
All right, that's all we got time for. Anthea, go ahead.
All right. So yesterday, Gareth, for no explicit reason, the rand completely weakened to 13.38 against the US dollar. So I can't tell you why. It just was what it was. And then contrary to the usual trend, local shares, the banks and retailers were stronger. But luckily for us, at the same time, resources and industrials behaved pretty much as we expect on the weaker rand and traded higher. I mean, like, it really was a day of contrasts, though, because actually even the property shares traded higher as bond yields spiked. And normally higher bond yields mean higher borrowing costs, which means lower yields on property. If you think about it this way, most properties are mortgaged and then rented out to get the income. Mm-hmm. So if your borrowing costs are increasing and you're not increasing your rentals at the same pace, and don't forget, commercial properties have much longer leases than, say, your normal residential properties. So if you're not increasing these rental rates as quickly as borrowing costs are going up, then obviously your profit margins are being squeezed. So it was a little bit strange that property stocks were higher yesterday, but it felt a bit like South Africa was just in favor, actually. And so,
okay.
I mean, so yeah, so we generally had a nice positive day by about 1%. The big disappointment of the day was MTN. They reported interim results yesterday. The share opened 4% higher and closed 2% lower. I mean, talk about volatility. The share traded as high as 124.10 in the morning and as low as 114.45. So that's from top to bottom, that's 8% in one day. And it's just, Anthea, like, I think people just don't know what to do with a share.
MTN, have they ever had, I mean, was there ever a time in MTN history, since at least we've started the money shot, where we all went, wow, that's really great news. That's terrific. More of that, please.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, partly what people, I think, are betting on is, one, Rob Shooter, the new CEO, taking over. I think I heard him speak yesterday. I think he's really smart. He's got some good ideas. He understands that he's got great footprint, but that he's in a very tough industry. He's in a deflationary pricing environment. He's got heavy capex requirements, you know, spending to keep the networks upgraded. And then the geographies that he operates in are difficult, but I think he wants to take those difficulties of, like, having big footprint in Africa and turn them around. The question is, of course, can he do it? And the most interesting thing about what happened with MTN yesterday, I mean, so many things, like constant currency was up. I mean, the revenue was up in constant currency, but in normalized revenue, it was down 18.5%. They've lost subscribers by about to the tune of 3.5%. And then on the other hand, data revenue grew 32%. So a couple of, like, contrasting things. But here's the big thing about MTN. They've said that they're maintaining their interim dividend of R2.50 per share, which means they're paying out more than they're earning, which seems crazy, right? It's they've insane. Guided for a R7 per share dividend for the full year. And we all, the reason people buy MTN is because they've got cash and because, well, they have had in the past, and because they're a nice dividend yielding share. I mean, R7 on a R114 share, what's that? Just off 6%?
Right.
And that's nice, right? You want 6%. You're not going to get that in the bank. But the problem is that they're having to gear their balance sheet to pay out a dividend, and that is not sustainable. That just makes no business sense, right? Borrowing money to pay shareholders dividends.
Sure.
So I'm guessing they're going to have to cut their dividend, and so that is going to be – I think that'll be a terrible result for the MTN share price going forward. And people, and because of this uncertainty, I think that's what's holding the share above 100 rand.
Okay. Certainly we stay away from MTN. I mean, that part is clear. Are the other networks doing any better?
No. I think it's a sunset industry, actually. I think of all of the networks that we talk about, I think MTN probably has the best chance of survival for exactly the reasons that I said. You know, their data is increasing. They've got a good CEO. They've got great footprint, all those nice things. But the question is, when do they do it? So the other networks, it's difficult.
Okay.
Anyway, right.
That's not a terrific forecast for them.
Afraid not, no. But luckily for us, the other industrials have performed well or are starting to perform well. So we hold Richemont, Reinet, Anheuser-Busch. They were all up 2.5% yesterday on the back of this weaker rand. I feel almost vilified because I am – no, not vilified. What's the word? I keep losing my words. What's wrong with me?
Vindicated.
Vindicated. Thank you. Because I've been calling a weaker rand for the longest time, and now all of a sudden, finally, it's coming to be. And so, of course, my portfolios are starting to perform very well. But one of the another share that disappointed yesterday, though, was the JSE. They also reported the share was down 1.5%. They're going through a huge cost-cutting program at the moment. They're aiming to cut overheads by 170 million rand by 2019. They're retrenching 14% of staff, which I think equates to about 60 full-time staff members.
Sure.
And so trading volumes are down about 14% for the period. But we could have guessed that, right? Because every morning for the last, I don't know, 2 months, I've been coming on and saying volumes are below average and, you know, we don't really understand why. So I guess we could have seen this coming.
Okay.
And then talk about cost cutting. Sibanye Gold announced yesterday that they're also cutting 7,400 jobs. I mean, this is on top of Anglo Gold's announcement this week that they're retrenching 8,500 people. And honestly, it feels like all I've spoken about this week are retrenchments.
Yeah.
And it's not just the mining sector. Nedbank also said they've already retrenched they call it headcount optimization, but they've reduced their workforce by 500 people in the last year. Now, you can laugh at it, but actually, Gareth, this headcount optimization, what it really is Nedbank are saying it's a natural attrition rate of about 10% per annum, and all they're doing is not replacing the people that have left, basically.
Okay.
So it kind of is. It isn't really retrenchment.
Yeah, but what a euphemism.
Right, exactly.
Headcount optimization. Who is the person who made that up?
I'm going to say it's not Mike Brown, who's the CEO.
No, I mean, if it is, he should be embarrassed.
But he bought it, right? He used it.
Well, it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Headcount optimization as opposed to retrenchment. All right.
Yeah, global markets are a bit mixed this morning, so I'm not sure what to expect. I think the rand's still weak, so we may see a little bounce again, but I'll tell you about that on Monday. So have a good weekend.
Cool. And you, Anthea, thanks very much for the update.
Thank you.
We'll see you on Monday. Very sure. Good. All right, Anthea Gardner, everybody, with a look at the markets. Coming up, Justice Malala, Burning Platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.